It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dana Perino, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Jessica Tarlov, Jesse Waters, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City. This is The Five. Republican presidential candidate Tim Scott going into the liberal lion's den and clashing with the ladies of The View. It comes after enduring weeks of racially charged attacks from some of the show's co-hosts.
He came out and did that dog whistle, victimhood. As soon as you say that, you know what he's talking about. I didn't like that.
He seems to think because I made it, everyone can make it. Ignoring, again, the fact that he is the exception and not the rule. And until he is then he can stop talking about systemic racism.
He's got Clarence Thomas syndrome.
But I do think he's
one of these guys who, you know, he's like Clarence Thomas. Black Republican who believes in pulling yourself by your bootstraps rather than, to me, understanding the systemic racism that African Americans face in this country and other minorities. He doesn't get it.
After smears like that, Tim Scott had enough, deciding to challenge the ladies face to face, minus Joy Behar.
I'm the exception, right? You're the exception. Maybe even Miss Whoopi Goldberg is the exception.
Why I'm on the show is because of the comments that were made, frankly, on this show, that the only way for a young African-American kid to be successful in this country is to be the exception and not the rule. That is a dangerous, offensive, disgusting message to send to our young people today. And 50% of the folks in our community
get 13% of the population.
You had a chance to ask the question. I know that I've watched you on the show that you like people to be deferential and respectful, so I'm going to do the same thing.
That was me talking to you, so I'd love that.
I'm going to
come next to her?
Come on over here.
Only one black senator out of 50.
We're talking about progress. There's only two on the other side.
Hi, we're back.
Oh, we're arguing over here still. I apologize. So we were still arguing over here.
All right, so that happened this morning. Greg, one of the things that Tim Scott said, the reason he went is what I recall you reacting to when the interview or when The View was first talking about it, about this exception versus the rule. And I remember your reaction at the time. I think he had a similar one, and that's what he really wanted to go on and talk about.
There's an interesting kind of ego play there with Sonny because no one asks her why she is the exception. So how did you do it, Sonny? How were you able to do it and nobody else could? That's a great question. That table is the worst group of progressives ever assembled because they claim nothing has progressed while they're alive. That makes them the worst progressive. Nothing's changed in 50 years or however long they've been on the planet. I think it's 80 with Joy. Speaking of Joy, how convenient that it was her day off. Mm-hmm. I think she really hates black dudes. You know, remember her, what did she say? She was lecturing black men on what it's like to be black, systemic racism, when her only black experience is blackface on Halloween, making her the Dylan Mulvaney of black men. So it's a credit to Tim Scott to go there. It was a lion's den with flatulence. Here's what's wrong with The View. I did The View 20 years ago, right? Why has it changed? You know, the Five is worth, 13 years? We cannot turn into that. Mm-mm. And I've identified why they turned into that. Everybody there is incapable of observing themselves from the outside, right? They can't do the shoe on the other foot thing, which everybody when you were a kid taught you to do in cases of bullying or disagreements or strategic empathy when you're talking about foreign policy. What is it like? Why is this person doing this? Are they acting irrationally? They can't do that. They couldn't even do that with Tim Scott, which is why they have this thing. I call it the waiting for you to finish face. Have you ever been on a show where
I do that face on this show.
Yeah, when Jessica's talking, you have the waiting for you. It's basically what happens is their ears shut down and you're never going to convince them. So they're just waiting for you to finish. And then they regurgitate their ideologies because they can't see themselves. If they could actually see you, strategic empathy, maybe if I'd see Tim Scott's point of view, Tim Scott could see my point of view, and then your mind would change. The only people who can't change their minds are people with really big egos and insecurities. It's fun to be wrong. I'm wrong at least once every day. I enjoy it. They can't enjoy it because their egos are too fragile.
There was a column in the New York Times this weekend called Why the View Has Changed, and it was somebody who had watched The View for 20 years, and her reason, she thinks, is because they all just are desperate to agree with each other, mm-hmm. and even with the conservative that's on the show, they don't want to have an argument, which we have no problem with here. Let me let's play one other thing for you, Jesse. This is about, well, about corporate and wokeism. Watch here. Do you have call for number one?
I think Disney and Ron have been in a combat zone for a number of months over what I thought was the right issue as it relates to our young kids and what they're being indoctrinated with. I thought he started off on the right foot on that issue. It is
100%. I'm sorry, sir. Do not boo. This is The View. We accept, we don't have to believe everything people say, but you cannot boo people here, please. You cannot do it. Please continue.
So that was a moment where they were trying to make sure that the audience was being nice.
So Whoopi got a chance to play the high road?
Mm-hmm.
Whoopi? Okay. I have to find out where Joy Behar was. Where did she go on vacation? Because this would be like me calling Hunter a crackhead for 2 years. Hunter finally agrees to do the show and I'm off. Yeah. You can't do that, Joy. The only reason he's on is because of people like you who called him a race traitor. So I didn't really learn much from this. They both used each other. The View uses black conservatives to scare blacks into staying voting for Democrats. And then Scott uses The View to go on and raise money. That's fine. But Greg hit it. He comes out and he says all this racial progress that the United States has made in the last 50 years, and they interrupt him and they say, well, what is that supposed to mean? We're just supposed to stop? No, we're not just supposed to stop making racial progress. We're supposed to continue. And that's what he said. He goes, we're always striving for a more perfect union. But they never had the conversation as to how you go about making a more perfect union. We never got into, well, should we be teaching white people to hate ourselves? Well, should we be handing out reparations? Should we just be hiring people because of their skin color, even though they're not qualified? We never got into that zone because all they do is scowl at the guy, interrupt him, and go to commercial. But the real question is, why won't the left acknowledge the racial progress? Why won't they just say, we've made a lot of progress over the last several years, and let's keep going for more? They want black people to continue to feel oppressed, like they're on the brink of slavery, in order to motivate them during elections. And then they want white people to continue to feel guilty, so they're shamed into socialism. But Tim Scott was good. He just didn't get it over the end zone like I wanted him to.
Joy Chanine, you've been on The View, how do you think your experience compared? Or I know you don't necessarily want to talk about yourself, but you've been there when it has been kind of hostile.
You know, I've been on The View for years when I was a DA. I actually co-hosted The View several times. And the last time I was on, it was like I didn't have a friend there. It was absolute hatred because of Donald Trump. Everything that I had talked about for years, all of the things that I had done, representing, you know, crime victims, women as victims, all the good stuff that they were applauding, even the Robert Durst case, applause, applause. How dare you be friendly with Donald Trump? The hate on the part of the left is overwhelming. And there wasn't a happy ending for me on The View. I mean, it was like basically get out and, you know, the segment's over, you know. But I'm glad that Whoopi's gotten to the point where she can say, you know, we tolerate all views on The View. Don't boo. She didn't say that a couple of years ago.
Right.
But what I want to know about Joy Behar is this. If she has Mondays off, I mean, great job, right? If you could have the weekends and Mondays off, why didn't they change it so he was on Tuesday?
Good point.
You know, I mean, why not come on a day when she's going to be there and he can go right to her face? Look, this is all tribalism. We have made the racial progress. We've made all kinds of things. It's the Democrats who keep pulling us back. Think about Joe Biden right at the beginning of the administration. First thing he does with Anthony Blinken, who, you know, should have been working on getting out of Afghanistan, but instead was too busy talking about how racist America was. They go to the UN and they say, tell us how racist we are, to get confirmation from the UN that we are a racist country. But if you had an African-American like Tim Scott, who had the same background, you know, poor, black, divorced. Mother worked 16 hours a day. He became a senator. He's now running for president. But he had a D in front of his name instead of an R. They would have been applauding him from the time he came on the scene. But that's not who they are. It's about tribalism. It's about not recognizing, hey, by the way, we've elected a black man president twice in the United States. We're not going backwards. We're going forward. And I don't want to, you know, talk about X, Y, and Z and all the things we've done. But you know what? It is pure base dog whistle tribalism that they're engaging in.
Toni Houston, she said that Tim Scott, in that first clip, there's only one black Republican senator. And he says there's only two on the other side. I don't know if she even knew that. That, I mean, if we're counting, that might not be the best argument to make. But, of course, you can comment on that or wrap us up.
We did have three. Kamala Harris obviously went to be vice president. But the numbers are not great on either side. They're even more disastrous on the Republican side. And I do think that the point that Sonny was trying to make about exceptions versus rules is an important one. It just had to be couched in the framework of accepting that there also has been tremendous progress. And then also owning the fact that majority of that progress has come on the Democratic side. Barack Obama was the Democratic president, right? We have a woman of color on the Supreme Court. She is a Democrat. Clarence Thomas, who's been called out, Joy Behar, named him obviously a conservative there. But in general, the progress in terms of our institutions reflecting the people that they govern is on the left side of things.
Yeah, but the legal progress happened because of Republicans.
What are you talking about?
The Democrats, they filibustered the Civil Rights Act.
That's true.
Okay. It's just an absurd thing to look at the way that the parties are laid out today. You talk about that we can't talk about progress. I know that Robert Byrd was a Democrat and was a KKK master before that or whatever it is. If you look at the parties today, you see a much more diverse set of faces on the Democratic side than the Republican side.
What is your opinion on that?
I think it's because, to your point about it's just straight tribalism, I think it's because the policies of the Democratic Party take into account the experiences of traditionally disenfranchised people. And that's what I wish Sonny had talked about. That's the same thing when people say, why wasn't Melania on the cover of every magazine? Why is Casey DeSantis, Walmart, Barbie, or whatever they called her, which I think is awful. The truth is that Democrat policies take into account the experience of women in this country. I mean, I was looking at the Fortune 500 CEOs. Now it's 10% women. That's a huge achievement. I have glowing articles about that, but it's still only 10%. And I'm not saying it has to be parity. I don't want a job that I don't deserve. But there are definitely more than 10% qualified women to do that.
But it's not
just
that.
Look at the wage gap.
It's not just that, Jessica.
Yes, it's educational attainment, which is another way that people are held back in this country.
There's a lot of people that aren't Republicans because they're told that the Republicans are against them when Republicans are giving them a message like Tim Scott does, which is, come here, you're going to have more opportunity in a place like Florida than you will in D.C. or Chicago. Mm-hmm. But whenever a black man says something like that, the Democrats call him an Uncle Tom. So I think that there's a message that's fairly effective from the Democrats that keeps blacks from considering another way out.
I think that that's actually really a bit obnoxious, frankly, to treat Democratic voters like they don't know enough to listen to Tim Scott.
I'm just using their words. The view denigrates every black conservative.
Look at the candidates.
Clarence Thomas.
Look at the candidates on the Republican side running for president. We've got two African Americans. We've got two
Indian
Americans.
But we have a sitting president.
And I'm glad we have a sitting president.
Right.
That's great.
We don't have other candidates right now.
Yeah. Well, that's
but
because
we had the black guy.
Because they won't allow them.
The moment you say this is no longer a racist country, a lot of people who make money off saying it's
a racist country
are out of work.
That's right.
All right, more to
Jessica.
Come. Senator Tim Scott will be on Hannity later tonight to talk about his battle with The View and the 2024 race, so don't miss that at 9 p.m. Eastern. Also coming up, Joe Biden being called America's part-time president after another stunning report on his schedule.
To you, I'm just a man. To me, you're all I am. With hell in my sport.
There's an old saying.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Only wanna burn in desire. Let me stand next to
you ever wonder why you never see much of Joe Biden? It's because he's only working part-time. The New York Times was trying to do a little puff piece to show how their dear leader has striking stamina despite getting sandbagged all the time. But while trying to boost up the big guy, they also revealed how pathetically weak his schedule is. Quote, in private, some officials acknowledge that they make what they consider reasonable accommodations not to physically tax an aging president. His staff schedules most of his public appearances between noon and four and leaves him alone on weekends as much as possible. And as the media tries to get Biden over the finish line, it sounds like his friends in the intelligence community are up to something, too.
Do you intend to vote for him again, or is there anyone on the Republican side you might consider if it's not Trump?
It has to be Joe Biden. And I'm glad he's willing to serve. The president must be someone who abides the law and our Constitution. And there's no one else but Joe Biden.
All right, Jessica. This is a grueling schedule.
No, doing a five?
We got weekends off, and don't bother me before 10 a.m. And it's a lid at 4.
The article did note that the morning schedule is actually similar to what Barack Obama did, who no one ever accused of not being busy, but he had.
Are you saying Barack Obama is lazy?
I most certainly did not. That's something a Republican would say. But that Barack Obama had double the amount of evening events. So things that happened after the 4 p.m. I don't know why it was just said that that was a puff piece. I thought it was a hit piece, frankly. I don't think any Democrat who read that thought this is good for us, that this is fair to an administration who we largely feel has accomplished a lot. Whether you want Joe Biden to be the nominee again in 2024 or not, there are a slew of things that he got done. And for that to come out the week after the debt ceiling negotiation where Kevin McCarthy came out and said he was smart, professional, and worked really hard, and that jobs report on Friday, which went beyond everyone's expectations, and then you wake up Monday morning and you see the guy is napping all the time, and we
Jessica,
don't want to bug him on a Saturday.
It came out because he tripped on stage.
Everyone who is an honest broker, so you're an exception to what I'm about to say, knows that you would. Anyone could have tripped over that, and it is obviously painful to see an 80-year-old person do that.
Oh, I felt terrible.
But he didn't, it's not like the man can't walk straight.
No, I mean, he just can't walk upstairs either.
Up on Air Force One.
Don't make me Ronald Reagan, the panel again.
Yeah, but didn't he also hit his head the same day on Marine One?
Sure
you know, the day that he fell down. Look, here's the thing. It was a puff piece, and I got to tell you, the thing that stopped me when I was reading it was he has striking stamina. He took a 9-hour train ride. Give me a break. A 9-hour train ride. Boy, that's tough stuff.
Through a war zone
but
president
you know what?
To do that.
And the amazing part of it is when you think about leaders, you think about leaders who get there because they fought their way to the top and we all look up to them. And then there's always this internal party, you know, competition. And then you've got a president here who is he's not being challenged by his own party because everybody's like, leave him alone. We don't want anybody. We don't want him to have to come out on the campaign trail because, you know, we don't want to have to clean up with all those statements that we did every time he came out and spoke to the press. But what about on the international level? I mean, the truth is that people in other countries are looking at this man and saying, this is a joke. He's running for president. He's not campaigning. He announced weeks ago he doesn't have a primary because they stopped it. And the guy is, you know, he's at his beach house. I mean, everybody is not dealing with the reality. And, you know, Ronald Reagan is, you know, he was, what, 73. They're not dealing with the reality here that this guy has a lot of trouble a lot of the time, whether it's walking or talking or stumbling away at a press conference. Or where was he when he was supposed to take a football helmet along with something else, and he just walked away with one item when he was supposed to take three? Which was it, Jesse?
He's always doing that. Do you think that he even should worry? Because you got Comey out there, former head of the FBI, Greg, basically says, you know what, we're going to keep this guy in office.
You know, what's with him in sand, right? Strips on a sandbag, then he goes to his beach house. Part-time Joe is a good thing. He shouldn't be at work in that condition. I respect him for his 50 years of service. But with his issues, it's better not to stress him out too much. Let him enjoy his twilight years with his family. His medical condition comes first. And I think it's cruel to make somebody in that state work that hard. And I'm saying that with, you know, artificial compassion, but I say it with compassion. By the way, did you notice Jack Dorsey endorsed RFK Jr., right? And everybody keeps saying, oh, he's not a serious candidate. Oh, you better believe he's a serious candidate.
He's too serious to be taken seriously.
Do you know what his son did? Nobody talks about this.
Oh, he went to...
His son joined the Foreign Legion to fight the Russians on behalf of Ukraine. That makes RFK Jr. the most credible and persuasive voice on ending this war, which he declared he would do, which puts me in his camp. And his son went there to fight. So he doesn't just have skin in this game. He's got blood in this game.
Well, Joe's son got involved in other foreign entanglements.
Yes, that's right.
That are just as stressful. Dana, tell us about your thoughts about everything.
I was just thinking I might start a new show on Fox Nation called Puff Piece or Hit Piece, and then we'll dissect the article.
Yeah. That's
because,
important.
You know, Hillary Clinton believed that the New York Times was awful to her. To this day, she can't stand the New York Times. Yep. We look at the New York Times and be like, wow, they're so easy on the Democrats. I bet the White House hated that piece, but they knew the piece was coming.
Yep.
But the piece was not pitched by Republican opposition research. It was pitched by Democrats who are granted anonymity in the New York Times, which means that they were at a high enough level that the New York Times thought they were credible enough. Mm-hmm. And their quotes are things like, it's all we can talk about is how old he is.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen. We call several times a day just to check on his health. We don't know what's going to... And they're so worried. And so it's not coming from the Republic. The call is coming from inside the House.
The rest home.
You know, if you look at the schedule, I'll never forget the brunch lit until 5 p.m. I was like, wow, boozy brunch. There are no campaign events, no messaging strategy. There are no surrogates. He said there were going to be surrogates. Where are the surrogates? You know what? If Comey is your surrogate, that is a problem. But they're not giving him anything to work on. I did talk to a Democrat today who said, we know it's a challenge, but just from this highly credible Democrat from media, so you hear what they want to do. They plan to try to show you that the accomplishments Jessica's talking about are having a direct impact on your life. Okay, so they're going to say, oh, aren't you happy you have the infrastructure bill? Aren't you glad that the debt ceiling was raised? Are you glad about the, I don't know, I can't even think of the third one. Oh, it can't be student loans because that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They want to have him more out on the trail more. I'm like, well, but that doesn't work if he's actually not out on the campaign trail. The third thing is, and this is the one that the Republicans are just going to have to deal with because the media will help them, is that they're going to try to take any concern about his age to pale in comparison to the toxicity of the Republican Party and whoever the eventual nominee is.
Okay.
So that's their camp. That's the
I may be old, but he's toxic. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Can I say something quickly about RFK?
Junior,
to be clear. If you are a serious Democratic candidate, you are not hanging out in a Twitter space with Elon Musk and Tulsi Gabbard.
Why?
Because that is not who we want to hear from. It's not who we respect, and it's not who aligns with our principles.
Wait a second.
That's where everything's going.
Elon Musk
What's
is making the world go electric.
It?
How's that not your principle?
What's that got to do with it?
The fact that all Republicans are defending him. And
oh,
I know,
come on.
You got what? So agitated.
No, talk about the issues.
Are you agitated?
I'll
show you
about the issues.
If you watch this show, there's a problem.
I watch the show. I live this show.
Yeah.
And I know there's no problem with me. And I'm telling you honestly about what's going on in the Democratic Party.
We will respectfully disagree that there's no problem.
There's
with
no
you.
Respect. I can feel it on either side right now, but I am correct. It's true.
You sound like me.
Yeah.
Up next, stores in Democratic cities forced to lock up your deodorant like gold in Fort Knox.
Hiding unsightly toenails.
America has a $100 billion a year shoplifting problem, and stores and cities are going to shocking lengths in order to combat it. A Chicago Walgreens now offers only two aisles of actual merchandise customers can get themselves. Everything else must be ordered at a kiosk. The company says it's not meant to be anti-theft, saying, quote, "We are testing a new experience at the store with new concepts, technologies, and practices to enhance the experience of customers and team members." Jesse, on Friday, you said you hate self-checkout.
I do, right?
Well, I'm not good at it. You get up there and you hit the scanner and it doesn't beep. And then you start twisting it around like a Rubik's Cube to see if it beeps. Still doesn't beep. And if it has any sort of weight to it, you have to call in for help. You know how embarrassing it is to have produce and then to have to go like this and signal that you need help weighing produce because it's too complicated?
You can type in the name of it.
See, I didn't even know that. And you can't type in name. I don't even know how to spell potato. Okay, is there an E at the end of it? Who was that guy?
Yeah,
Quail. Yes. I'm like Quail up there with great hair, no idea what he's doing. I want to talk about this shopkeeper. He's an Afghanistan immigrant. He fled Afghanistan, went to San Francisco, and is now fleeing San Francisco because San Francisco is too chaotic. Afghanistan ranks dead last in the rankings of most peaceful nations, and he can't hack it in San Francisco. What does that tell you?
I know what it tells me.
What does it tell you?
Look, be honest about it. At least in Afghanistan, the Taliban cut your hand off. People are afraid to commit crimes. All right, that's what's going on in Afghanistan. Look, this all started with London Breed. London Breed made a decision to cut Breed. She made
like
a decision.
The cheese, like the
thank you, Jesse. She made a decision to cut $120 million from the police force. And the police warned what the impact of the of cutting the police budget would be. And now we have to live with it. People like you have to go to the grocery store and do your Rubik's Cube thing.
I'm helpless.
You don't know how to spell. I mean, the what's going on is it's really sad. I mean, this poor guy, he comes from Afghanistan. He said the thieves are in the store for 18, 20 minutes. They're like just packing things up according to the alphabet in their bags.
I mean, 100,000 merch stolen.
Yeah. And the truth is, and look, guys, we're all paying for this because the more stuff that's stolen, the higher prices get. The more stuff taken, the higher insurance gets. Yep. We're all paying for this nonsense.
I have to
cut
buy deodorant on the street. Mm. Hot deodorant. Do you know how much that costs?
You know
that goes like this in the lapel.
No, go to do it yourself. You can put lemon or something on yourself.
I'm going to squeeze lemon, except I can't buy it because I can't figure out the checkout.
Yeah. Dana. I think
the soft on crime approach is the biggest challenge that we have in America because it's the base account. And government is there to protect the people first and foremost. Stealing, there's a reason it's in the Ten Commandments. And you shall not steal from your neighbor. And what Judge is saying is that because we all end up paying for it. And it breeds this lack of trust. Megan McArdle is a great columnist for The Washington Post. She has a cool idea I want people to think about. She said we should create a West Point for cops, like a national academy where you have better pay, more prestige, and a real focus on what is the best type of policing that we could do. And then recruits would agree to serve 8 years, just like you do if you go to West Point and you serve in the military. Because there's something creative and new needs to be done so that we can stop this. One is the prosecutors, but we've been talking about that for years, and it's not helping. At least maybe not until the next election. So I like this idea.
Yeah, but you know, the concept that maybe the police are doing something wrong is ridiculous.
No, this was for recruitment and making sure
to get
more people there because the trajectory is so bad. In San Francisco, they're down 500 cops.
I agree.
Another innovative idea going on in Brownsville, in Brooklyn here. So there's an organization called Brownsville in Violence Out, and they take a couple days and they respond to everything that the cops normally would. And the police are there. They have no arrest powers, but they essentially become community policemen for these couple of days. And they did it for 2 days. They had people turning in illegal guns. They kept a man from robbing a bodega, and they stopped a pregnant woman from hitting her boyfriend when he couldn't install the car seat properly, which I can tell you is very annoying.
Were they wearing those yellow jackets like in Chicago?
Do you think that that's something that...
That is absolutely no solution. If you are a true, true criminal, nothing like that will have an effect on you. The biggest challenge here is ego and ideology. There's a certain group of people who will not admit that all of these reforms are a disaster and costing lives. We can talk about this and say this or that, but the people that are right now in power, they're the problem. It's amazing. We have a theft problem. And instead of arresting thieves and locking up thieves, we're locking up the things they steal. Imagine that logic. Imagine that logic anywhere else. Anywhere else. It's like, hey, we got this. Hey, We've got a whole bunch of murdering going on.
Hey, let's lock up the people.
Do a lockdown. I watched a show. It was set in the 1960s, and the characters were sitting at an old restaurant. Those old restaurants called the Automat. Put coins in. Cake comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
That and Amazon is going to be the future.
Yep. You're right.
Because you're watching, if you're looking at Walgreens right now, mm-hmm. it's the world's largest vending machine.
Yep. Yeah.
And so
yep.
why not just like put the, put the credit card thing in there. You put all the toothpaste in one area. You put the pain meds, the cold meds, the sleeping aids, no lines. It's like just a row of ATMs. That's the wave of the future because the fact is, if you can't lock up criminals, lock that stuff up.
You know what they've done? They've changed our purchasing behavior.
Yeah.
Everybody would rather go to Amazon and just have them deliver it.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I don't want to sit there but I feel so bad for the workers,
but here's
the retail workers.
You talk about food deserts. We're going to have cement deserts because all these little bodega stores, they're going to be gone. There's going to be no more little businesses, no communities. The only people left there will be the poor and the people who prey on them, like Jesse. Trying to buy Jesse will be out there buying his gorilla deodorant off these poor people.
Tell me about this magical cake that appears at the table.
It
comes out like a triangle. You put a dollar in and a cup cake. You can eat it.
Look at that little boy smile.
We're doing a field trip.
Coming up, Democrats are really not going to like this. I'll let you know why millennials are shifting to the right.
Liberals have a new reason to wet the bed. Millennials are moving to the right. According to the New York Times, the crucial part of the Democrat Party's electoral coalition that helped put Barack Obama in the White House has started voting Republican as they get older. Shock. All right, Jesse. Are you shocked? I mean, when we're young, you tend to be rebellious. When you get older, you tend to be a little more responsible. What is your takeaway from this?
I don't have a takeaway. I talked to sources in the polling industry who gave me this takeaway. What they say is this is economic. Yep. They say in 2008, you have the crisis in the housing market. And since then, their economic futures have flatlined. Their housing purchasing power is naught. They have not gotten the wage gains they expected. And so they're kind of trapped where other generations were able to really advance economically. They have not been able to do that, and they're frustrated. The people a little bit older than they are very concerned with inclusivity. They're more concerned about being judged by other moms for not being inclusive enough. So on the one hand, you get Generation X, who really just cares about being accepted socially and not being called a bigot. And then the people generation, whatever millennials are, they just want to make more money and they don't care about equity.
All right. So, Dana, should the Democrats be troubled by this? And do they have a game plan to try to work this out?
I don't know if they have a game plan on this. I think this is probably inevitable and they've a little bit factored it in. And Gen Z has woken up in a big way. If you look at the vote turnout in that Wisconsin Supreme Court election, they had like an 80% turnout and on the college campuses, and they were voting mostly against abortion. So the Republicans have lost some of the college-educated men and women, and college-educated men and women who are now millennials who are having children and they can't find a house to buy, and they're frustrated with a lot of things. The Democrats will try to run up the score on abortion. The bigger problem that Democrats have is with Hispanics, because that number is definitely decreasing for Democrats. So we'll see how that goes.
You know, AOC and Bernie Sanders, Greg, said, you know what, just charge everybody more taxes. Now this generation is at the point where they're paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of it?
That's it. In fact, think, work, pay.
No, think, pray, love.
You're getting it. I'm going to do an impression of you in a second. Think, work, and pay is the eat, pray, and love of a generation embracing reality. Mm. It's, you see a young woman that embraces the rights of abortion, all of a sudden starts thinking about actual children, right? You're seeing this shift for three, as you get older, right? This is where I become Jesse. You become less attractive, right? So, you know, you care less about what people think.
Well,
you care less about what people think.
Yeah,
as a woman.
Men actually age gracefully.
But you discover that virtue signaling.
Is what Don Lemon would say.
Yes, exactly. But you realize that virtue signaling is for suckers. You have to start dealing in the substance of reality. You care less about what people think and more about what you can do to make your family
better. You start paying the bills. You write two checks on April 15th. It feels like you're being assaulted because you get zero from it. And you start a family. You enjoyed Pride Month, Jesse, brunching all the time.
Pride
it was
Month
great.
For me, Greg, is all year round.
You had rainbows in your apartment, even when they weren't outside. But now that's starting to look like a luxury. You were for trans rights, but you don't want trans activists telling your kids which pronouns to use. That's what you do as a parent. So as you age out of all these, like, what Tyrus would call, like, first world problems, first yep. world issues. Yep. And you start dealing with real world issues, and all of this stuff looks like garbage.
Okay, Jessica, wrap it up.
Okay, so as the only Democrat at the table,
no.
I will say... Someone speak now or forever hold your peace.
Use your time wisely.
Okay.
I'm an old school Democrat.
Yeah. It's another Kennedy thing with you. This is just what happens. And people come back around when they've made a lot of money, right? So all the mega donors are boomers, right? And they're all 60-something sitting in boardrooms, giving out hundreds of millions of dollars to whatever causes that they please. This is the natural evolution as, yes, you start to pay more in taxes. You have a family. Was that directed at me as a 39-year-old Democrat? I do think, and Nate Cohn, who put out this piece and did the polling on it, noted, we don't know the true impact of the Dobbs decision, that this is a kind of seismic shift in terms of the political Jackson v. Dobbs, a woman's right to control her own body.
Nate Cohen or Cohn?
Cohn. Don't.
There's no E.
Don't be...
We know you can't spell.
Anyway, so we have to see how strong this shift ends up being. But of course, you're going to be concerned at any time that you could lose.
The point is, you've become more conservative as you've got. You had a family. You have.
Really?
You did it, Jessica.
What?
Yes.
What?
You have.
You said build the wall in the green room.
I heard you.
Yep.
You even heard it.
Coming up, Greg's worst nightmare has come true. What it is next on The Five.
Hi, I'm William Devane.
Assigned what? We're on air. Hey, you know what? It's that time of year where I duct tape my ears.
Airway down yonder on the Chatter Foods. You never knew how much that muddy water meant to me.
I'm a redneck woman. I ain't no high-class broad.
How do you like me now?
What, do you want to play the entire oove? By the way, summer's the peak listening time for country music. We have under a minute for this segment, which is why.
By design.
Yes. Okay, Jessica. Judge Jessica.
Okay, I love Toby Keith, and I love him now. I hope he's doing well.
There you go, Jessica.
Not a big country fan, but I imagine this is because people like stories.
You hated our country. You just said I'm not a big country fan. You hate America. Got you. On.
He
clip
was
this.
Waiting.
Somebody
he was waiting.
This.
That
was
been in every Memorial Day special, too, where someone's like, yeah. I saw Jessica burning a flag out.
Jesse, do you know what country music is?
I'm coming around the country.
Oh, come on.
As you age.
You're actually aging out.
I'm aging out of what?
You're out of your prime.
Aging out, what am I?
No, you're
don't touch it.
I won't.
Time.
Fight a dollar for any time you said that to me. All right, Dana,
I think that the word summer is the most used word in all country songs, if you look. And I think that this makes a lot of sense and why it's played on the radio a lot, because people like to get out
and
there.
Love. Yeah. And love. And love. Heartfelt love.
All right. Trust. One more thing's up next.
That was it?
Yes.
There's an old saying.
It's time now for one more thing. I'll go first. We want to give a shout out to our Fox Fleet team. Look at this great crew. They took part in the Tunnel to Tower stair climb yesterday, raising $13,000. Overall, the event raised $1 million. You can still donate, of course. This is for the Tunnels to Towers. It goes to build homes and pay off mortgages for families of veterans and first responders. nyctowerclimb.t2t.org if you'd like to donate. Congratulations, guys, and thanks for doing it.
All right. T2t.org is the best.
Yes,
Am I next? Yeah. Okay. Yesterday was National Cancer Survivors Day, a day that's near and dear to me. But there are a bunch of children. You can see here, I think about 100 of cancer survivors celebrating at an arcade, kids as young as 6 and 7 years old. If you think you got a problem, take a deep breath and watch this. God bless these kids.
Indeed. Greg.
All right. Tonight we got a great show. It's called Gutfeld. I got Kennedy, Lawrence Simonetti, Jeff Dye, great comedian. Cat Tip, it's going to be great. I'm not going to show you my baby elephants today.
Save them.
They'll save the elephants for tomorrow.
Jessica?
Okay. So check out what happens when a swimmer in South Australia dives into a bioluminescent water.
Ooh.
Bioluminescence is when light is emitted by a chemical reaction within a living organism. Some organisms, isn't it cool, use bioluminescence to defend against predators or find mates.
Jesse, you should get that for your pool.
I should.
Yeah. Oh.
That means he's peeing when it goes that color.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're next.
I have a funny story
about
that.
Do you remember the thing?
Yeah, I doubt it's funny.
What do you want to tell us, Jesse?
You want to see some lax highlights? Here we go. We got some...
You're the worst.
Look at this.
What? Oh, I hate
down to his knees behind the back, just flips it right there.
You're
top
the worst
right corner.
Is that a real
that
sport?
Was Xander Dixon.
Of course his name's Xander.
Of course tonight.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.